I want to thank my guest, Sam Stratemeyer, who drove through the snow from Metropolis, right, this morning to join us.
That's right. It was slick.
Yeah.
But I made it here.
Now, and I'm glad you were able to make it up. And first off, I find it odd that you and I have never met before today. You being a broadcaster since?
Since 1978.
Okay.
In that region,
right.
That area. And, yeah.
And you also went to SIU, political science.
I did.
Graduated in 82?
Correct. In August of 82, I graduated from SIU Political Science, and along with my two brothers, Ben and Dan, also went there.
Well, what's interesting is, even though I didn't know you, I'd heard about you, and I know a little bit about you. And
all good, I hope.
Well, what I found interesting is that you know, you've been a broadcaster and you're a farmer also, but you have always had political aspirations. We know since political science, you've wanted to be in politics.
I've enjoyed politics, and I am a Republican county chairman currently in Massac County. I've been a Republican precinct committeeman off and on since I've probably been 18 years old. Prior to that, I was a Republican activist and political activist.
So why did you pull the trigger now, Sam? Why did you say, now's my time, I'm running?
Well, Tom, it's like what you said. Who said now? I've been campaigning for 40 years.
Yeah, all true. But these years of you getting ready for this.
I've been getting ready for this. I've been in Southern Illinois. I went to SIU. I have a family situation where I can actually take off and serve the people of Southern Illinois. So it's all the right timing. And let me tell you, the state of Illinois needs change.
Motivating what, and change is what motivates you.
It's a lot of motivation there. You know, right now, Illinois is the highest tax state in the nation. And it's to the point where you can't have your average politician say, I am not going to vote for tax increases. You're going to have to elect people say, hey, I am going to decrease taxes. I'm going to look for ways to cut taxes. I'm going to look for ways to cut regulation. We are going to bring jobs back to Illinois. We're going to bring business back to Illinois. And that's what you've got to elect, whether it's for the state general assembly, whether it's for governor, or whether it's someone in your courthouse or your city hall. They have to have these this has to be ingredients in their conversation.
Economics. Now, here's the other thing. You've been around long enough. We imagine this now. You're being a Metropolis guy that you drive across Southern Illinois. And remember when we had rest stops?
Yes.
You'll remember that we had more resources than what we had now, especially state level. I mean, we closed down a work camp here. You know, we have lack of funding. We have some issues with schools and educators. But it seems like the 118th district has taken the brunt of the statewide financial mismanagement of the last, 30 years, 40?
Oh, it's been for a long time. And I was in Chicago in the last couple of days. And Chicago area says, hey, we need economic change also. But when you leave Chicago, when you leave the south side and you start heading south, you know, Illinois is shaped like a funnel. And that sucking sound that you hear are people leaving. That's jobs leaving Illinois. So, yes, there has to be a change.
You know, and it seems like many of the people that I've spoke with recently, they go right to the taxes. And they go in two different directions. Sam Stratemeyer is joining us, Republican candidate, one of three in the primary coming up in March. We've got the ones that say, I can fix it by raising more money, progressive tax. You've heard that messaging.
And you're going to hear a lot more of a progressive tax this session.
All right. And then you've got the others going, we can't deal with the taxes we have now. We have to cut them. We have to do something. I mean, we're literally, I told this story recently to one of the other candidates. I'm down not far from the radio station, and there's a couple standing next to me looking at a portable building. They can afford the portable building, but they don't know whether they can afford the taxes to keep the portable building on their property.
On the property and keep the property taxes. You know, you're correct. Whenever it gets to the point when a people are buying a home, buying their business, buying their building, and they've made their payments on it to the bank, my gosh, you still have a payment left equal to what you've paid, and that's not going away, and it is increasing.
Yeah. My every month, just between me and you, okay?
Okay.
All right. When I make my house payment, some of that money goes into escrow to pay my property taxes. You know, I look at how my house payments broke up. Well, it was property taxes, escrow, insurance.
Correct.
My escrow for my property taxes is more than my house payment.
Isn't that something?
How can that be?
That
I pay the state more than I do to pay for my own home so that I can keep it? You know, and you realize that it's not just you. Everybody is operating underneath that, operating underneath this burden. And then you've got the state saying, you know, you shouldn't raise property taxes. And by the way, can you take this pension liability and take care of that for us?
That's another issue that they're going to have to deal with. And, you know, you're not the only one that worries about what you're saying on the tax payment. Whether you own your house, whether you live in an apartment, those taxes get passed on to you.
Yep.
So don't say, Sam, I'm going to ignore you because I rent. You're paying those taxes. And what we have to do as politicians, what we have to do as a community, what we have to do as your local chamber, what we have to do is say, hey, let's look at the other states. How are they getting by with less taxes? Now, we already know we're at the top. And I sit at night on my computer, and I do the web searches, I do the Googles, I do the Bings. And I say, let's look at states with the lowest tax and income. Let's look at the lowest property tax. Let's look at how the lowest sales tax are happening in which of these states. And then that's what we're going to have to look at. We're going to have to make the cuts in government where we don't need the cuts in, or where we don't need items, and especially in where you have duplications.
But look what has happened with Governor Rauner, a newcomer, comes out from the outside, comes into the program, says, I want to make change, and it seems like he is stifled at every turn.
He has been stifled. He has had his hands full by working on the budgets and trying to get things set up for the state. But, you know, we can't leave this job only to the governor. The governor needs the 177 people of the General Assembly, and everyone has to be working in tune. And once again, I am not leaving the problem in Springfield or Washington. The problem still goes back to your local courthouse and your local city hall. You have to have these conversations, and you have to have with the people, well, how are you going to lower the taxes? How are you going to cut these regulations?
You know, my greatest fear is right now that the people in Springfield say, okay, let's take a look at those cuts in Washington. All right, let's never let those really go into effect. Let's capture that money before people become used to it. I literally think in Springfield they've already doing the math going, well, if federal's going to cut that, we'll take it.
Well, Tom, you are probably correct. There are people in Springfield that are saying, they cut taxes, let's move that right to us. You're not going to hear that from Sam Stratmire. Sam Stratmire believes that when Tom Miller comes to work in the morning, you get your money, you get your job, or whether you go home to your business, I want to keep more money in your pocket. I don't think anybody can spend your money better than you, but they're trying to spend your money for you.
Mike Madigan, is a lot of things are laid at his feet as to why we are in this situation. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
Well, he is Speaker of the House. He does have a large agenda. But even what I've said in the last few minutes, there's a lot of blame, and that can be passed around to a lot of people. And just to say, it's Mike Madigan, and that's what Republicans will say, or if it's the Democrats, they're going to say, oh, it's Bruce Rauner. There's blame for everybody. Once again, right back down to your city hall, your school systems, the local governments. And do we really need as many local governments as what we have in the state of Illinois?
More taxing entities than any other state in the
Union.
The last time I saw, Sam, when I did some searching and looking, it was around 7,300 or something like that. Taxing bodies in this state. Yeah. Ways of people that are authorized to take money out of your paycheck.
That's correct. And that's huge. And not only is it huge, it is, once again, the largest in the nation.
How do you change the ship that has been going this way so long with so many people on board and bought in? How do you change a direction of a ship like this? How do you get it turned around?
You are correct. It is a ship. It's large, and it's been for a long time. The problem will not be fixed overnight. You've got to continue to elect people that are vigilant in cutting the taxes, cutting the regulations. Once again, you got to have a General Assembly, and you got to have a governor that works together. You've got to have these people in tune to fix a problem. And exactly what you're doing. You bring the people in, you talk about the problems, and you talk about that there of the problems. We're going to correct the problems. We're going to work with the problems. And if you don't want to be the one that gets up and say we need to make the change, then you need to elect a person like Sam Stratmire that's actually here saying it to you. There's going to be a change.
You know, it's interesting because I was talking to a city manager a couple of years back, and I said, is there a way that taxes can go down in the state of Illinois? And he finally came to the conclusion after we talked to Tom. He says, here's the problem. Everybody seems to want more every day. They come to City Hall, city manager, as I said. They come to, and they want this and they want this, and but they don't want to pay for it. But there's this desire for more services all the time, especially on a city level, it seems like. I wondered, I mean, have we come to a problem that we don't have enough educated voters? I remember Brad Cole, president of the Illinois Municipal League, says we need more people that are willing to sign the front of the check as opposed to the back.
Well, I agree with Brad on that. And what's Brad's even saying, not only do you need the people that are willing to sign the front of a check, you just need more checks in Southern Illinois. It doesn't have to be a large paycheck, which you hear these people say, we want this level, we want these great jobs. Let's just have some jobs here in Southern Illinois.
So what are your ideas? You've been around, you've seen Metropolis and see what it can do, because you'll remember they called it blighted when they first moved the casinos in there, blighted territory. Now they're not quite so stringent about the use of that word as they once were once upon a time. You've seen how big things can work, because they said we couldn't do it for that. And, you know, there was a big fight. Where was the tax money going to go? Because it was in the river. So the Kentucky got the tax money. There was all this fighting that was going on from the flood level of 1878 and all these things. You've got Caro down here, clearly needs some help. You've got a district that is short on health care. You've got sheriff's departments that really aren't very well staffed. We want to grow it with tourism. I'm not sure we can support it. And when they're there, we don't have a lot of ways to capture that money in some districts, say Stoneface, Shawnee National Forest. There aren't a lot of stores around there to at least stop and buy gas and a honey bun and a cup of coffee. Try to capture some of that money. What can be done intrinsically in your district to create more jobs, to create more business opportunity?
Well, what you're saying is correct. There are a lot of these problems, and we need to start with a smaller steps of cutting the taxes and cutting the regulation. And you cannot have jobs for people if there's not someone here to give the jobs. And you've got to bring those businesses here, and you've got to make it business friendly. That's your first step. Once you got the business friendly atmosphere, you got someone that wants to come to invest in your community, now you've got the jobs. And a lot of those problems will correct itself once you have jobs and those paychecks going to our community.
So creating a business friendly Illinois is task one.
That's got to be task one. It's got to be task one, because that is what pays for everything else everyone wants.
It was interesting because some of the people started a coal mining organization group over in your district as well had talked about, we need federal assistance to get out of our way for coal mining jobs to return. And then a lot of people said, boy, the federal government regulations, they're not as bad as the Illinois state regulations. We need the Illinois state regulations out of our way before coal picks up. We were lucky we saw the new coal production numbers come out 2 weeks ago. I think it was 8 or 10% increase, state of Illinois. You remember which one it was? I think it was 10. The highest production increase in the United States was Illinois.
Once again, Tom, you're hitting it on the head. It's got to be the jobs, and you've got to get the jobs. It's like the chicken and egg. You've got to fix a problem so we have the jobs.
All right.
Hey, you have to do it.
All right. Sam, you're a farmer, broadcaster?
A farmer, broadcaster, business person.
And, I mean, when you kind of – you've seen things change and become increasingly difficult. One of the things that I've seen – I grew up on the farm, too.
Yes.
Watching the family farm go away.
It has changed. And it is changing at a very rapid pace. I think right now they said the average farmer in America is like 58 years old.
Really?
You know, that's kind of a – age for an occupation that we should really be concerned about. How are we going to get more people into the agriculture and take care of the agricultural sector? Right now,
especially in Illinois.
One of every five jobs in the state of Illinois turned to agriculture.
Right. 20% of all jobs are ag. We feed the world. It goes right down these rivers and right out to the Gulf of Mexico and goes a lot of different places. And it's another one of those jobs that unless you're involved, you really don't seem to know, maybe have the appreciation, maybe is what I'm thinking, that you don't have the appreciation that you should for that. There's a whole lot of people out there working really hard, and I've talked to a couple in the last. They said, you know, I'm out of the business because we can't make it. We can't make ends meet.
You can't make ends meet, and I see coming very soon, very quickly, the next couple of years aren't going to be any better for the agricultural. And like I said, one out of every five jobs is still tied to agriculture in the state of Illinois, and you heard what I said. I don't see a real pretty picture coming for the next year or two.
Right.
Wow, we have to work and work on it fast. You've got to have someone that says, hey, we're going to take care of the farm sector. We're taking care of these business people. We are going to put everyone here back to work. And I'm telling you, it will help fix a lot of problems. If you want social programs, let's say Sam, I want more of your social programs. Well, the people that pay for your social programs are the people that's got the jobs and got the businesses. Government doesn't create their own money in the state of Illinois. It just doesn't happen. If you don't believe me, look at places like Cuba. You cannot continue to live off of the government and have no creation of the jobs and wealth.
Right. And you wonder.
So if you want even the social things, if you want the good educations, if you want SIU, and as we mentioned a while ago, I'm a very pro-SIU person. Sam Stratmire, his two brothers Ben and Dan Stratmire, were all alumni of SIU. I would love to be back on your show talking about SIU being the world-class leader in soybeans. How to fix soybean problems, how to create the soybeans. I want to be here talking about SIU and the coal jobs.
Right behind that tree line, the Coal Research Center. Just right over there, right out inside these studio windows.
I would love to be in here sharing the studio time. Say, hey, we have more energy in Southern Illinois, and we are going to create it, and we're going to continue to work on the energy, and we're going to continue to have alternatives for America.
And we are. We're going to get you back in here in March, too.
Sounds good. Thank you, Tom.
Sam Stratmire, he is one of three Republican primary contenders, the 118th District. And thanks for taking the time and trouble to drive on this snowy day from Metropolis to the studios here. Appreciate
Thank you,
that.
Tom,
means a lot.
Me.